Yes, welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. I'm your host, Harrison Tarr, joined as always by Dylan Lark every single Wednesday. Dylan, how are you doing today, my man?
I've been doing better once allergy season is over with, but I'm ready to talk about some baseball and eventually some basketball, too.
Yeah, you're not lying, man. I wish this weather would just kind of chill out. It's like cold as all get out today. It's unbelievable. But let's hop right into the sports, to the Auburnisms, if you will. Definition of just Auburn being Auburn last night. Auburn baseball took down Georgia Tech 12-11 in 13 frames, 12 frames, 12 frames.
12.
Sorry, it felt like 9 years. And walk-off fashion in 12 frames after going down 7-0 and you know, fighting their way back. And really, just like I said, the most Auburn fashion ever. Lindsey Crosby of the Auburn Daily, lead baseball writer and senior baseball writer over at the Auburn Daily, wrote a piece about kind of recapturing everything that went down in this win for Auburn on Tuesday night. And I thought Lindsey did a pretty dang good job of just encapsulating the Auburnisms, because there's a lot to take away from this. And we knew going into this game that Auburn was taking on an opponent that it's well, for sure going to see later again in the regular season, but very well could see in the postseason. I want to get your immediate reactions, Daniel. Dylan. I do this often. I'm sorry. We're not on the college loop right now. That's okay. But Dylan, I want to get your immediate reactions on this game, and then let's break it down the way Lindsey broke it down, because I think he brought up some really good points.
So my first gripe was at the beginning of the game was the fielding was abysmal at points. That's why Auburn went down by so many points. And something happened. Once the sixth inning hit, something just sparked in this offense. It was got fun to watch in the sixth inning. And then the seventh or the ninth happened where it was just a stalemate. It's a pitching battle back and forth. But I was glad when it was over, because I could finally turn it off at 11 o'clock. So right. The fielding was an issue at first, but I like how they kind of came back and fixed that.
I was impressed yesterday with Auburn's kind of resilience. I know that that's one of those intangible things that you tend to get lost in the sauce about. But let's break it down the way that Lindsey talked about it for a second. His first like little bullet point. We're not going to go section by section per se, but him mentioning when it rains it pours. My gosh, are you right? Giving Tommy Vaile the start and the keys to the Ferrari, for lack of a better term, made perfect sense. You and I talked about this on the College Loop earlier in the week, the Tommy Vaile's the midweek guy. I still think he is. Every now and then you're going to get lit up. Sometimes it happens. Yeah. And you turn the ball over to Connor Copeland in the second inning, and it's supposed to be his for as long as possible, because we're expecting Tommy Vaile to get extended innings this weekend in Fayetteville. And then Connor Copeland gets lit up, for lack of a better term, and it gets ugly. It gets messy. You turn around and you're in the fourth inning, and John Armstrong's in, and things are getting weird, kind of like over at your house, Dylan. Your dog's going nuts, man.
Yeah, she's probably barking at someone who's trying to enjoy their nice little walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know what? It happens. But I just threw Dylan on mute until I'm done to my point here for a second. It'll be okay, Dylan. You'll come back in just a second. Offensively, I thought Lindsey did a great job. I mean, like, Justin Kirby is ridiculous, and this team is just so resilient 1 through 9. It was impressive for me, their ability to really bounce back and make sure that after they got out of Tech's starting arm, that they took care of business and got right until they fell silent again, and we got into the first ever, never before seen pitcher's duel at 11-11. Dylan, who impressed you the most on the offensive side of the plate last night? I mean, Justin Kirby feels like a freebie, but I thought there were some impressive ABs from Auburn. Also some really forgettable ABs.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I think Kirby is probably the easiest one to go with. Three hits, three runs, right? I think he got three hits, three runs. And, I mean, throw a little respect to Brody Wortham. Is it Wortham or is it Wortham?
Wortham.
Wortham. Respect to him. His one at-bat last night was a walk-off. So respect to him. I think Ike Irish did pretty well in hitting the ball where Georgia Tech guys weren't. I was impressed with a lot of people. Josh Hall, too.
Let me say Josh Hall. We can't forget about grad transfer Josh Hall out of Ole Miss. I mean, three big moment hits for him. With runners on base, clutch scenarios, and making sure that he gets on base and delivers. Auburn got into Tech's bullpen, and vice versa. Obviously, I'd like for it to be known that there was not a scoreless frame from the Jackets until the seventh inning. So yeah, things got weird, and for all intents and purposes, Dylan and I had already chalked this one. I thought Lindsay brought up a great point. This was another one of those. Well, the best thing, you know, that we can take away from it is that we stayed healthy, and we won, and didn't eat up too many innings from guys this weekend. But Dylan, that's kind of what leads to my next point here. There is an element of you use way more pitchers than you were expecting on using this weekend, and you're going to Fayetteville, and you're going to play Arkansas, and I don't even need to elaborate on what that means, because it's a given on the baseball diamond. They're just, I would say they're dogs, but they're hogs. You know what I'm saying here. This has got to be the most recovery filled next 3 days Auburn's or 2 days that Auburn's seen, right?
Oh, of course. Because you're bringing back, hopefully you're bringing back Bobby Pierce and Cuba McMurray. I mean, I think Ike Irish played pretty well at first base, but I know he's a catcher by trade. But you're getting Bello back. Stanfield is a freshman. I know he made some of the kind of, I don't want to say brainless, but he made some of the errors last night. That's on the outfield. The obvious one being the one off the monster. This huge bringing back your left fielder, where most of the balls are going to be going, because I would say most of the batters in Arkansas are right-handed.
Sure.
You're bringing back also, biggest name you're bringing back, Joseph Gonzalez, because you used Tommy Vail last night. And with Joseph Gonzalez back, you have a for sure starting pitcher on Saturday, and that solves most of the problems with the pitching staff.
Yeah, you touched on it for a second there. Bobby Pierce's absence, Cooper McMurray, both out against Georgia Tech, not expected to play this weekend against Arkansas. One of those things that you look at and you're like, okay, well, Auburn took down what's probably going to be an NCAA tournament team without these guys. I don't know how long you can live by that. I don't know what the longevity is on that. Cole Foster's going to be – he'll be a game-time decision come this weekend. And the defense really showed that – they're missing these pieces. Cole Foster, specifically, there were a couple of off balance plays last night where you'd like to think that Cole makes that play. Bobby Pierce, I don't know that he really makes a defensive difference significantly yesterday. Cooper McMurray does, and that's just all baseball IQ and reps. Like you said, Ike Irish, a catcher by trade, working fine at first base, but you prefer to have your starter go. Most importantly, if Auburn can get Jogo back this weekend, that's probably the biggest what if, right? Because we're not looking at a long-term season-ending injury. If this was the postseason, I think he'd be pitching right now. But important to monitor that this bullpen's just not sound yet. I don't think that means it won't be going down the stretch. I don't think you would say that either. I just think that the pieces have not all been healthy enough and really not been able to mesh together in a way that you'd want them to. So you really know, okay, this guy, you know, candidate A has innings X, Y, Z. Candidate B is going to be our guy that can come in and set somebody up. I think that we know Bowman could probably close. We know Armstrong can kind of set up and bounce around. But until you get your full rotation with your ace back, Dylan, how what's your approach?
Caught me as I was yawning. I just work with what you got. I don't think Caden Green did terribly at shortstop. I think he did pretty well batting as well. So I don't think I don't want to say he's a good replacement for Cole Foster, because Cole Foster's defensive ability is out of this world. But I think Caden Green, Chris Stanfield has shown a lot of potential. I think this young group can really mesh together well if they need to. But I mean, the starting, you got to get the pitching rotation back healthy. That's the key part to this defense, because if you get Jogo out there, I don't think I don't want to say he's played against Georgia Tech, because he definitely wouldn't have. But I don't think Georgia Tech puts up 9 runs in the first 6 innings.
I don't think Arkansas puts up 9 on Jogo. I don't think that.
No, happens. They do not. They do not at all.
So something to monitor going into this weekend, something very exciting. Busy weekend on the Plains. I'm sure that'll be addressed on the Friday show. I will be absent for the first time since we started the show. I will not be here on the Friday show. Probably going to tap Dylan Larkin and let him hang out with Lindsey Crosby. You're a lucky man. Before we get to some more Auburn sports, some big time games, most importantly, one big time game tomorrow night on the hardwood. I want to talk for a second, Dylan, about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. I love the any sport feature. Predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They've got flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3. And you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. Super clutch. Love that feature. Best of all, use promo code Auburn. That's AUBURN to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, AUBURN for double your first deposit. This college basketball season, we got pro baseball going on. NBA is still in the middle of all this. You've got plenty of options. I wish they had darts. I love betting on darts. I don't know why. It's obnoxiously fun. But lots of options over at Prize Picks, lots of flex options. Use promo code Auburn for double your first deposit up to $100. Let's talk college basketball. It's that time. About that time. Malik Dunbar voice. Auburn men's basketball is going to tip off their first round of 64 in the NCAA tournament against Iowa. That'll be in Birmingham, Alabama at the BJCC, a building that I'm amazed has not fallen apart yet. And Dylan, I think Auburn lucked up on their draw. We talked about this on the College Loop earlier in the week, and we'll go in further depth about that on tomorrow's installment of the College Loop. But just from a pure matchup perspective, and you know that this is probably going to be something that comes up on tomorrow's show, so you're welcome for our bonus input here. But I think Auburn lucked up here as far as lucky as you can get as a 9 seed.
Yeah. We talked about it on the last – when we reacted to this, I said that Auburn probably got the best bracket they could have possibly gotten into. I think that, I don't want to say they got the worst. They probably did get the worst 1 seed out of the 4, but I mean, that's not really saying much because it's still a 1 seed. But you're going against an Iowa team in the first round that isn't as tall as Auburn, which is wild to think about because Auburn, most of Auburn's problems this past season has been height. Auburn has not been as tall as other teams, and it's shown. And now you're going into Iowa where you're taller than them, and it's in Birmingham, which means you basically have home court advantage for the entire first 2 rounds if you can get past Iowa, and then that really helps your case when looking at them playing against Houston in the next round, unless I don't know what 16 seed they're playing, but unless somehow they get upset. But I think it's huge. I need to pull up the bracket so I can see what other 9 seeds were around, see what they got. But
I would agree, specifically from the height standpoint, like you mentioned, and like we keep going back to, this is a big game for Jahni Broome specifically. And I know that I sound like a broken record. I know it's so important that Auburn's able to score down low, that they're able to rebound. I know that we're talking the fundamentals of basketball, but at some point, when you get to the big dance, it's just the first team to win 5 basketball games. And it really starts with the fundamentals, and it starts down low for me. The guard play is what the guard play is, Dylan. We've said that time and time again this year. This Iowa offense will kill you if you let it. And if you don't buckle down, you're going to be in a deep hole. Their defense, the Hawkeye defense, is suspect at a generous term. I've watched a lot of Iowa film in the past couple 24, 48 hours, really. And the more I watch of Iowa against big-time opponents, even in that incredible game against Indiana, I don't have a lot of faith that they can stop much of anybody. It's a lot of Iowa being able to live and die from the perimeter, and they're really not incredibly good at getting into the paint. I think the matchup's favorable. Specifically on the, if it comes down to defense against defense, I like Auburn's chances a lot. And quite frankly, Dylan, tell me if I'm crazy. Is that maybe the outlook that if you're Bruce Pearl, you take? Slow down possessions, don't make the game go any faster than you have to, and just eat clock the entire time and just D up. Is that the Auburn outlook?
Yes, it should be. And we've had a lot of games this season where that definitely should have been the outlook. Sorry, as my voice is trying to leave me. Yeah, Auburn has spent too many games this season trying to speed up their game, and this is not the Auburn of 2019. You can't just walk down the court and shoot a three and get 3 points in like 7-8 seconds, which what we've grown used to seeing with Jared Harper, Bryce Brown,
and a lot of baseball teams.
Samir Dowdy, yeah, Javon McCormick is able to do it. Like all those guys are able to do it, but these past few Auburn teams have not been 3-point shooting teams. Sure. So they've had, I think if you're wanting to stop a offensive team, you need to slow it down, let your defense get rested up, take an easy two, let Katie Johnson drive in, get fouled, so you can get – that's the kind of three-pointer that Auburn should be gunning for every possession. Drive in, get a two, get fouled, 3 points, boom, easy.
I'm so glad you mentioned Katie Johnson. And I want to go ahead and well, since we're on the Auburn Daily Show and we've got people tuned in and listening, shout out to all of our listeners and viewers. Love you guys. I think now is a good time for me to go ahead and say it. I think Katie Johnson can be the most important player for Auburn in this tournament. And let me tell you why. We know what Jani Broom can do and what he can be. We know what Wendell Green can do and what he can be. Jalen Williams, we know what he can do, what he can be. Katie Johnson, we don't. We know where he can be. We know what he's capable of. You never know where he's going to be. These other guys we're mentioning and talking about, we can put together an educated guess about where the floor is at and where the ceiling's at, for that matter. Katie Johnson, I think it's on a spectrum. Like I'm not entirely sure it's the same concept. I don't want it to get lost in translation here. Katie Johnson is the entire reason that Auburn even had a fighting chance to move on to the SEC tournament. I mean, he literally put Auburn on his back and carried them to that being even a close game and Wendell Green even being in position to take that shot at the end. If Katie Johnson can get hot get to a point where he can build off of what he did in the SEC tournament, and really what he did the last month and a half of the season was kind of special. We're not talking about that enough. If he can get the job done there, Auburn is one of those nine seeds you don't want to play. If Katie Johnson's got confidence and he's talking that talk and he's backing it up, he's going to talk anyways. But if he's backing up that talk, it's Auburn becomes a scary nine seed and Houston becomes not a cakewalk.
Yeah. Because you're talking about, we always talk about how this is a big, big tournament, big game for Jani Broom. And that's what we've been saying throughout the entirety since we've known that Auburn was a nine seed in the tournament, is we're going to need Jani Broom to play how he's was playing during the season. And Katie Johnson, I guess he heard us talking about him earlier on the season because he something
in the program.
Yeah, something hit. Something just hit, and he got 20-point games, like 5 out of the last 6 games. It just seemed like he was Auburn's offensive weapon the entirety of the last like portion of the season, especially sure. SEC tournament, where he kept Auburn in the game at times. And I'm looking at it as Katie Johnson's probably the second most important player on this team going into the tournament is Jani Broom and Katie Johnson. Because Wendell Green's going to be your facilitator, easy. That's always how it's going to be. Sure. Trey Donaldson's going to be your facilitator. Wendell Green's going to be your three-pointer. But Katie Johnson has the ability to get the ball, drive in, and there's very few times where I've worried about a Katie Johnson drive-in layup. Like, I don't care if he misses the free throw. I do a little bit. But the layups is what we need. And him getting crazy like early on in the game is always good for Auburn because then he's going to put up a lot of points. So let him get knocked down a little bit. He's going to get up, stick his tongue out, wide eyes at the Iowa bench, and then put up 24.
I don't want this to get taken out of context, but I don't know. Maybe if someone commits a technical foul on Katie Johnson in the early going in a hypothetical Houston matchup, that plays to Auburn's favor. If you piss the guy off, it's dangerous for quite literally both sides for a whole race of reasons, just because Katie Johnson can also be very good angry Katie Johnson and very bad angry Katie Johnson. But he's such a polarizing player. It feels like he's just built for March. You know what I mean? Like he had a very, I'll say, a piss poor showing in the SEC tournament a year ago in Tampa. You and I were there in person wanting to beat our head into a wall, but
the whole team was
like, it feels like Katie always plays with a chip on his shoulder. It feels like he's sick and tired of people saying Katie Johnson's not good in the postseason. And, I mean, there's a narrative. There was a narrative until the SEC tournament. And now you really can't point fingers. I think that that's something that he'll ride with. And I know I'm getting a little philosophical there. But from a series standpoint, outside of, like you said, Jahni Broome, Wendell Green, those are your givens. KD Johnson could be that X factor if Auburn wants to make a run of the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. That's really the difference maker to me. We've got a lot of exciting basketball coverage coming up right here on the Auburn Daily, so don't go anywhere. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. Make sure if you're listening or watching on YouTube, comment down below who you've got winning your bracket, if you think Auburn's going to beat Iowa in the first round, and if you think they can beat Houston in the second round. If you're going to be there, let us know then too. Make sure you're subscribed to or following the Auburn Daily on all platforms. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the whole nine, all of that fun stuff. A lot of cool things coming your way, basketball, baseball, football content, and some new stuff that I can't talk about yet, but we're really excited for. Dylan, I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then I'll get us out of here.
All right, well, I'm Dylan Lark, at Your Boy The Tank on Twitter. If you are watching the show, it's just right there. If you're listening, it's at Your Boy The Tank, at YABOI The Tank. You also catch me on the College Loop podcast every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, where we talk about the same things, really, but longer formats. And some cool interviews coming up with that as well. Also catch me on the Monday show with Lance Daw.
Yes, and I am Harrison Tarr, at by Harrison Tarr. Like, read my byline on Twitter. If you're watching the YouTube version, it's right below me. Like I said, if you're listening to one of our lovely streaming services, that's at by Harrison Tarr. If you want to listen to more of my, or if you want to check out more of my written work, rather, with the Auburn Daily, you can go to theauburndaily.com and check us out on Twitter. Like I said, Facebook, all the articles are there. A lot of cool stuff coming up. We got women's basketball NIT coming up on Friday. A lot of NFL draft coverage. You name it, we're there. We're on it. You can also check out my podcasting work, like Dylan said, on the College Loop. That's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Available wherever you get your podcasts. That's Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Music, I don't know, Space Music, whatever you choose to listen to it on. That's where we are at. We've got a lot of cool interviews coming up there. Make sure to check out our exclusive interview with Owen Pepo on the Tuesday show from this week. Something super fun that you guys, I think, will enjoy immensely. Other than that, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Auburn Daily Show. I will not see you guys on Friday like I usually do. It'll probably be Dylan and Lindsay. Got some personal matters. Life happens, guys. We appreciate all of you guys for following along with us. Make sure to click like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. Until then, we will see you same place, same time tomorrow right here on the Auburn Daily Show.